Hi, this is Sarah.
And this is Mark.
And we are the Letter Black, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit.
Welcome to The Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Mosh Pit with Wes and Haley.
Nice. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good.
That's good.
So where are you guys out of?
We're out of Atlanta.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
And you guys are up in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, just south of, but yep.
Awesome. So today we're talking to the Letter Black.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
So you guys are about to release new music. We're just going to jump right into this.
Yeah.
So you're on the Rockfest Records label.
Yes, we are. Yep, we just signed with them in the beginning of this year, actually, in March.
What provoked you guys to sign with them? What was the...
Yeah, well, we already had connections with Joseph, who is the owner of the label. He is in the band Seventh Day Slumber, whom we have done some tours with before in the past.
Yeah.
So we already had a relationship with him. And when we came out talking about doing our fourth record, he jumped on board with, you know, wanting to be involved and being a part of it. So we already had the relationship. We trusted him. And because we've had, you know, some fun experiences with labels in the past. And so we just kind of, when we saw the contract, it was a no-brainer for us.
Yeah.
Very cool. Because y'all were coming off of Tooth and Nail, correct?
Well, we got actually our second record was the last record we did with Tooth and Nail. Our third record we did with EMP, which is David Alfson, the bass player for Megadeth. It's his record label.
Gotcha.
And we just had a one record label deal with him. Like, I'm sorry, one record deal. So.
Well, that's pretty neat, man. Congratulations on the new music. When are we expected to hear that?
That's a good question. You know, we had this whole big plan before COVID hit. We were like, all right, we're going to do our fourth record. Going to be awesome. We're going to put it out in the fall. Everything's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. And now we're just waiting to kind of hammer it out, figure it out with our record label and see when they, you know, when they're thinking is the best time to release it. You know, at first everyone was like, well, you don't want to put out a record if you can't promote it and you can't do all these shows. And now, as we've gotten into it, clearly it's not here and gone by summer like everyone was predicting.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to figure out, well, obviously we can't just keep waiting and put it off forever. So life has to continue. So we're just trying to strategize and figure out. Of course, the label has to figure out, not just us, but all of their artists, the ones who already had planned on releasing it this fall and then planning us around them. And yeah. It's a whole bit. I mean, it's a business like any other business. It's a business. And so we're strategizing right now as to when the best time to put it out is. But hopefully sooner than later, for sure.
Well, the good news is the record's completed.
Yep.
It's already mixed and mastered. It's ready to go. We just got to get artwork, pictures, videos, and all that
fun stuff. Figure out the date.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We're definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys are doing this really cool thing, which is allowing the fans to pretty much dictate the name of this this album.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done something like this before?
No, we never have. We've always picked it out ourselves. So this one, we started a Patreon page. And so we were kind of thinking, you know, what is something that would be exclusive that nobody's had the chance to do? And it just kind of hit me one night. I was like, you know what? We've gotten to pick 3 album titles. So why not let them pick? So it's an exclusive thing for our Patreon fans, followers only. So it's not exactly open to the public. But if you want to be a Patreon subscriber, you have the ability to vote. And the voting is up on Wednesday. So we'll see what the winner is on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a really good way to get something exclusive out there for fans, no doubt. Are you guys hoping for a specific name to win?
I think favorite.
We both are. Yeah, it's the same.
Oh, you agree now? Because you were leaning toward the one.
I was.
More than the other.
I think I like that better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's come to my side. Can we tell him? I guess we can tell him. There's no harm in telling you the options. So the first option is Born for This. The second option is Rise. And the third option is a self-titled. We've never done a self-titled. And so that's my vote. I really like the idea of having a self-titled album. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. But we'll leave it up to them and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this will definitely be exciting for sure. I think that's really cool that you guys are doing this in this, like, particular way.
Yeah, thanks. I thought it was pretty cool, too. I try to think when I'm doing stuff like this, like, if I was a fan of a band, you know, what would be super cool? What would I actually want to be involved in and be a part of? Yeah. And so that's how we try to do things. I don't know if you guys know, but we do a Friday Night Live every Friday night as much as we can. And we go on Facebook and we go live with our fans and we talk to them for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And, you know, just hang out. We have our coffee. We sit in our living room and we have these conversations. And a cool thing that we just started doing recently is having fans submit their phone numbers in our direct message. And we do a random draw. And we call a fan without them knowing who it is. You know, we don't give them a heads up. We just say, submit your number if you want to have a chance to be called on a Friday night. And so during the live, we put them on speaker and we call. And so far we've gotten everybody. There's not been a voicemail, you know. And it's been so cool to, you know, to hear from our fans directly, like on our cell phone. And it's really cool as a follower, people who are on our page watching the live, even they think it's really cool to see where our fans are from and how they heard about the band. And it's exciting when someone else is excited. And so it's been a lot of fun. COVID has definitely made us get more creative with how to connect with our fans, which we're actually really enjoying.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
That was going to be my follow-up question. That was, you know, yeah. If you had anybody not answer, you know, due to
so
all
far, so calls. Good. Now, of course, since we've talked, the next time no one will answer.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
But we do have a huge list, so we would just move on to the next one and try circling back around. So it's been really cool seeing the response and getting our, you know, because every week that we do it now, new people are seeing it, and then new people are submitting numbers too. So it's been really fun.
That's cool. That's definitely cool. Definitely a good way to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
What, so going back to the beginning, when it was just you and Mark, you were breaking the silence as just a praise team, right?
Well, it wasn't breaking the silence.
Breaking the silence is
when we... That's when we went heavy.
Yeah, we departed from praise team stuff, and breaking the silence, when we did that, that was our first step toward rock and roll. And yeah, Mark was actually the lead singer at that time. I did not start out as the lead singer. I never, you know, it wasn't like something that I thought would happen. And then we went into a studio. Where was it? In Ohio or something?
We weren't even breaking the silence that one for another day.
When we went in the studio? Yeah.
We didn't change it until we went in with Travis. But yeah, so we started off, it was called Cry Up was the name of the band.
Yeah, when we were doing the worship stuff.
We were doing worship stuff. Not that I have anything against worship music, but that's just not my cup of tea. You know, I didn't grow up in church. You know, I grew up with Megadeth, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, you know, like the Big Four, and then of course everything else in between, from Korn and Nine Inch Nails and everything else. And you know, when I got saved, you know, I started listening to Christian music. I just really didn't like any of it. It was just too, it wasn't heavy. I was looking for those heavy bands. And then I finally, after like, you know, being a believer for like 6 months, finally stumbled on some really cool bands like Thousand for Crutch and Disciple and all that stuff. When I first went to church, they were introducing me to like DC Talk and stuff. And I love DC Talk, but you can't compare that to like, whatever,
Nirvana
or Marilyn Manson, all the stuff I was listening to. So
so you decided to do something about it.
Yeah, so I just wanted it to be sound just like everything else that's out there, just with a different message. So
here we are.
Changed.
Very cool. Was there a big reason behind changing the name to the letter Black, which is a freaking cool name to begin with?
Yes, there is a very important reason.
Yeah, so when we were on Tooth and Nail, EMI, and EMI was ending up, there was a band called Break the Silence, and the label was getting sued over it.
So clearly, Break the Silence was close to breaking the silence. Yeah. So like, y'all gotta change it. So.
Yeah.
We searched and searched and searched and tried to figure out a name, and we could not figure out a name that we all liked that wasn't already taken. You'd be surprised at the bands out there that have
weird names. Like we even looked up Ham Sandwich, and that was a name.
Yeah, like we got fed up. We're like, you know what? We're looking up freaking Ham Sandwich, and there was a band called Ham Sandwich. Like, I give up.
Yeah.
So someone finally threw out, you know what? It doesn't have to be anything like real. It doesn't have to be anything that makes sense. It doesn't have to be anything with a big story. So they threw out, it could be the letter Black. It doesn't matter.
Well, and it was cool how that happened. It was Paige Hamilton, the singer of Helmet, and he is good friends with our current manager. And they were just talking about it. It was just kind of really cool. He's like, who cares? Just call him the letter Black. What's it matter? And it was just kind of cool. And it stuck.
Yeah, that's definitely a big reason for sure. So here's kind of a deep question for you guys. When people think about your band or the music you make, what is one thing you want to be known for the most?
Hope. Giving hope.
Yeah.
There's enough negativity in the world. Just because we're a rock band doesn't mean we have to be negative. Now, that being said, we do talk about real issues. We're not on the flip side talking like everything is awesome and, you know, like life is full of rainbows and sunshine and it's fantastic and we're just so happy all the time. It's not that either. So we try to be real with people. Like, yeah, life sucks. Life is hard sometimes and it's not always pretty. And sometimes you're like, you feel like you're crawling through mud. But there is hope. And so that's what I hope that everybody thinks of when they hear our music and they listen to our lyrics and stuff.
Well, I mean, that's a very good thing to want to be known for, you know. Music is so influential and impactful in just daily life. So you might as well be known for something, you know, beneficial, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So The Letter Black is a female-fronted band. What would you say the experience has been being, you know, a female-fronted band in the particular climate we, you know, are living in now? Are you seeing more, you know, women participating in this genre alongside with you guys, or do you guys face particular treatment because you're female-fronted? Just take us through that process.
Well, we definitely don't get particular special treatment because it's female-fronted.
And we don't get negative feedback either. You know what it is? Before, like when we first started out in the mid-2000s, there were not as many female-fronted rock bands. And now, you know, here we are how many years later, 15 or something?
Yeah.
There's a ton more, which is awesome.
Yeah.
What it comes down to, honestly, as far as having respect, is the same for a female-fronted band as it is for a male-fronted band. Like, if you are not good, you're not really going to have everybody's respect. And if you are, you are. So it doesn't have anything to do with male-female, at least in my experience. What it has to do with is, can you back up your record? Like when it comes to live, can you do it or is it fake? Are you all, are you studio made? And again, that's male or female. And so to me, the live show is where you prove if you genuinely are talented or if you're just studio made.
And honestly, a good song is a good song. It doesn't matter if it's sang by James Hetfield from Metallica or Pat Benatar. Like to me, a good song is a good song. It doesn't matter who sings it. I think one of the good things that seems like it has changed now is when female fronted bands first came out, the big thing was sex sells, and all these female artists were dressed up by the labels and everybody to look a certain way. And I felt like that the female fronted market took a weird turn because it was just a sex thing. It was more of a, well, let's sell this. She's hot and we'll sell her. And it didn't even make any sense because it dumbed down the music. It took the artistry away from it and made it more just about what somebody looks like and not the actual art itself. And I feel like that has totally shifted, I'd say probably within the last 5 years or so. I don't really feel like it's a, I mean, not maybe in the pop world it's still like that, but I mean in the rock world, it's pretty much just, this is the music and it's either good or it's not.
Right. And that's honestly how it should be, you know? I never really understood how, you know, bands, you know, take the whole route of using sex to sell their music. I would rather just listen to good music versus a person who's really attractive, but that's just
It's just
So looking at your audience, who would you say is the ideal listener to The Letter Black?
Honestly, I don't have a preference. It could be a 68-year-old grandmother for all I care.
Yeah.
Now, statistically,
statistically,
we're talking 25 to 35-year-old males.
Yeah, that's pretty much the majority of our audience.
Now, that being said, Yeah, well, actually, it's 18 to 55.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
like 75% or something like that.
Male.
71% male.
Yeah, male. It's mostly male and then like 25% female.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, like I said, grandma can rock it. I don't care.
Yeah. I just think that the majority of the hard rock metal world is male driven.
Well, yeah. So that's probably why. It is. Females are fewer and far between. But
yeah.
That's all right, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true on all fronts of that. And, you know, when I first started the Mosh Pit, we used to do a really cool thing where we took every third Thursday and we promoted Ladies Night, which was the best in unsigned female fronted punk rock nice. Metal bands.
Well, that's cool.
So, you know, we were trying to give back as well because there were so many coming out. I actually found you guys through another one of my local bands. Well, I say local, they're in Florida. We're in Florida. Anyone's Guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you guys shared the stage with them at one point. God, it's probably been years.
Man, we do so many shows. I can't remember.
I don't even remember. Yeah.
But they hit me up and they were like, dude, if you're looking for good bands, man, you can check them out. And I really wasn't at the point I am now to actually reach out to you guys to do an interview like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really thankful that y'all.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen,
like, yeah, we'd love to.
We love talking to everybody that we can, honestly. Like, what other reason is there to do the band? We're not a band that is egocentric. We're not vanity people. We're not like, I don't know. We don't try to put on a fake persona and we're amazing and you guys should love us. And
yeah, and we're larger than life.
Like
we're human beings like everybody else.
We pride ourselves on keeping it real and being real with you guys because we're just not fake. So we're happy to be here. We're happy to talk to you guys because this is life. This is why we do what we do.
You know, I got that feeling that you guys were just down to earth and really awesome when I...
Yeah, we should come down to y'all and do a cookout or something, right?
Yes. Well,
next time we play Masquerade, they have to come.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, if y'all play Masquerade, we're there, period.
Yeah. Right?
It's been a minute.
Oh, I know. And we're hoping that they're able to open back up after all this nonsense is over with, too.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite all-time venues to play. I love that place.
That's awesome. I know the guys are listening, are going to be listening to this show, so we'll definitely tag them in that.
There you go.
They'll love the love. So I'm going to, if you're looking at your bucket list right now, what's left on it? What are your next three items on your bucket list of things to accomplish?
Oh, wow. I mean, a gold, we've sold hundreds of thousands of records, but it'd be nice to have one gold record. That'd be really awesome. That's probably on my bucket list. I really hope this record is the one that has the biggest shot of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard because no one buys the records anymore.
Yeah, but they count streams and all of
that.
Oh,
do they count streams? Yeah, okay, so well then maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's kind of different now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a gold record, that would be... like the ultimate bucket list for me would be a gold record.
Yeah. Man, that's tough. I don't know.
There's bands I'd like to tour with.
Yeah, there's bands we'd like to tour with. Does that count as a bucket? I mean, that's
absolutely.
Yeah. We almost, it was so awesome. We almost got this tour and it just didn't happen. It was Avenged Sevenfold and Bullet for My Valentine.
Dude, I would love to tour with Disturbed.
Oh, that'd be
I love too. Them.
But we almost got that tour. Because M Shadows is a fan of the band. We almost got it. And it's all, you know, it ends up being political.
It's like politics.
Management,
it's money.
Made a promise to somebody else and whatever. That would have been pretty awesome, the tour with those guys.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one. Of course, my bucket list is Metallica.
Well, yeah. You
I've
could
got
die
to meet them, but I've never
man.
Got to play
if he
the same stage.
Oh,
yeah. I'd be done. I'd hang it up. I wouldn't even care, if we went in the hole. I would just be done. Be like, yep, I made it. We're done. I got to
Hey, you already had a moment like that where you were like on cloud nine. You could quit right then and there. Yeah, you want to tell them about it real quick?
Yeah, I got to play in a band called Hill. It's Mike Portnoy on drums from Dream Theater. David Elson from Megadeth on bass. Ripper Owens from Judas Priest is the singer. And then Phil Demmel from Machine Head is the guitar player. And Jake from... Jake the Snake from, why can't I think, Sebastian Bach. I can't remember his name of the band right now. Skid Row. There we go. He couldn't make the show, so somehow I got the call. And I was like, you know, a kid in a candy store, and I got the call. And I had to learn like 50 songs in a week. And then went and played the show with them. And then they offered me the touring job, and I couldn't do it because of Wet or Black. And this was back in like 2010 or something. But I smiled the whole time on stage.
Like else, a child.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else has got their rock face on. I'm smiling like the whole time.
It was hilarious.
So,
but it was awesome.
Yeah, that was my pinnacle.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That is awesome.
Kind of an interesting story. I think you guys already touched base on it a little bit earlier, but can you take us through your favorite tour story?
Favorite tour story? We have to narrow it down to one. There are so many near-death experiences. We're not even kidding. I mean, very, very scary times on the road. Well, there was a time we got chased by a tornado. There was the time we flew over the crest of a mountain and downhill without warning and couldn't stop. We blew through a red light. Thankfully, no one was there. There was a time in Vegas where someone who was driving was distracted by the shiny lights and didn't see the traffic stopped in the middle of the highway. There was the time where he didn't make the turn, so he flew into a parking lot.
There's a time the bus driver almost drove us off a cliff.
Off a cliff, yes, that was fun. What about the time you and Matt Beal were in midair when you woke up and made eye contact? Where was that?
That was in Texas.
We hit like a big old speed bump. Like a speed bump. The driver didn't see a speed bump, and they woke up midair and locked eyes. It was fantastic.
There's a lot of
options. How about the time we were on a bus and there's cubbies overhead and I was sitting by the kitchen area. We hit a huge bump. The bus swayed back and forth and cans of soup came flying out, about knocked me out.
Yeah.
We've gotten death threats. Somebody threatened. That was scary, but that was, you know, looking back.
That was really intense.
Ooh, there was the stalker guy snuck backstage. You know what, y'all? There's a lot of fun.
Hey, that's a good story. I'll tell you that story. That was actually a crazy story with the stalker guy. I forgot about that. We were on tour with Skillet at the time, and their tour manager used to tour manage for Five Finger Death Punch. And someone got backstage somehow. And was
he lied.
Sarah.
He said that he was part of our crew.
Yes, part of the crew or something. I don't even know how he got backstage. He didn't even have a pass. I don't know how they
It was at a church, a big church that night, instead of at a theater. The one night on that whole tour.
All I remember is Scotty Rock came running backstage and grabbed me and Sarah, pretty much picked us up and threw us in the bus. And was like, you don't leave. You don't go anywhere till we catch this guy.
Yeah,
it was pretty great.
I'm sure he was harmless, but still, it was like, why do you have to be weird?
The death threat was what was weird.
The death threat was fun. That was somebody threatened to shoot me in the head. That was good times right there. So never, ever, ever a dull moment on tour.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
So you say pick one, we cannot.
So with y'all having your stalker, that means you've made it, right? I mean,
Sarah, I'm not really sure.
Remember, they're not stalking me. They're stalking the hot little girl over here.
Sure. Hey, hot little girl would scream in their face and scare the crap out of them. They wouldn't even be like, what? No. I'd turn around.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of crazy stories, it seems like.
Yes. Yeah, and that was just a little touch. Yeah. There's touring is so weird. You just never know what you're going to encounter.
Right. So many good stories.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's...
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. So backtracking a little bit to, you know, your writing process. I know you guys mentioned that, you know, your new album's already finished. Can you take us through that writing process? What was it like? Do you guys ever disagree on songs, lyrics, etc.?
Honestly, this record was the easiest and most enjoyable record we've written together. And I don't know if it was because we got a little bit of a break. We're just, I don't know. We're in a different space mentally. And I'm not quite sure why.
Well, we're in a different spot in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different.
Yeah, and I don't really know why.
We have three kids, so it's just, you know, things change.
But we've had the kids before. We look at,
yeah, but not on the second or third record we didn't. We had two.
We had two, not three. I don't know.
I mean, things change. I mean, the old process, so like Hanging On by a Thread, Rebuild, and Pain, we changed our process on this record. So, you know, I have a full recording studio in our house, which is where we did Pain and where we did this record. And, you know, we just, the old process was I'd write all these songs, all these riffs.
All the music. Yeah,
I'd write all the music and I'd hand it to Sarah and I'd say, okay, go ahead, write some melodies and lyrics, have fun.
So like he handed me fully complete songs and I had to come up with melody and lyrics, which is a very difficult thing to do. Cause if I'm just not hearing anything over a guitar riff, well, too bad. Cause it's already done, you know? So I'd have to get really creative where I'd have to be like, you know what, I can't figure this song out, you're gonna have to write something because I don't hear anything for this part, and so it was just a little bit more difficult, but we honestly didn't think to do it, it sounds stupid now, but like we didn't think to do it any other way because I don't really play any other instruments. I mean, I'm not really good at any of them, and so I can't sit down and write my own music. And we also tried back then when we did it that way, where he would write all of the music and I would write a lot of the melody and lyrics. I would also come up with melody and lyrics and I'd be like, can you write music to it? And in the same way that it didn't work best for me to write over his music, it didn't work best for him to write music to my melody and lyrics. It just, the method was okay. It worked clearly, but it was more of a struggle. It took a lot more work. This record, we wrote it together. I mean, we sat down, he had music ideas. Do you like this? Do you like that? And yes, it's great. Keep going. Or no, or can you try this instead? Or leave this part open because I hear a cool melody idea here. We literally did it together.
So that being said, this record was all about a vibe for us. So when we started writing a song, you know, in the first 10 or 15 minutes, if we didn't vibe, before I would keep it.
Like, yeah, we would keep working it out. We might want to keep it.
Like, no, I completely deleted the whole entire song. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gone. If we didn't vibe off of it, we shut it down. It was just a totally different process.
We decided if we weren't having fun with it, if it wasn't coming to us easy, then it wasn't going to happen. And so we just scrap it.
Yeah. And every label we've been on besides with Rockfest now, we have been super micromanaged. Like, everybody's like, let me hear the song. You know, where's the hits?
What's the update? You got to say this in this song. You got to have this, you know what I mean, topic. We need to market to this. There were so many rules and so many restrictions.
There was just so many hands on opinions. Yeah. It was just too, it was very, very micromanaged. And I really got tired of everybody saying, where's the hit? Like, who can determine a hit? Like, it's the fans that end up determining it.
And the more pressure and you know, deeper you stick your nose in our stuff, the less creative
the less artistic.
So that was another thing that I think contributed to this record and the ability to do some different things and different processes that we've done in the past was the ability to have some freedom, even though we're on a label, because they really were not particular.
No, he just said, turn in the product.
Yeah, and we obviously sent them stuff as we kind of went, but all we got was great, love it, awesome, fantastic, stoked, you know, like just encouragement. Yeah. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been a good process.
That's good. I think that's, you know, really awesome that you guys have learned to, well, I guess not learned, but, you know, worked so well writing this album. I've spoken to so many bands who have not had that same process, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it took us, you know, this is our fourth record, so it took us a little bit of time and you know, years to figure it out, and I'm happy we did, because I think going forward, man, we're going to be able to hammer it out much faster than we ever have. This way it works way better.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you guys, that they give you the creative control, you know, because I know I've heard a lot of the horror stories of, you know, the labels just, you know, you've got to do it this way, and this is the only way we're going to take it.
Yeah, we've been there. We've been there with the micromanaging labels, and it's not fun at all.
Yeah, I mean, the first record we ever did, I wrote 80 songs.
80.
Not like a piece, like 80 full songs to pick 15 and then pick 12 or whatever it was, 13, I think, one on the first one.
Oh.
Like, that is super tiring, and after a point, you don't even, like, know what you're doing. Like,
you don't remember what songs you've written, what songs you haven't. If you've written the same song twice, you don't, what day is it? I don't even know where I am right now.
Yeah.
And it definitely, as you could guess, is, like, a little bit of a buzzkill. Like, you're just like, I don't even want to do this record right now anymore, because I'm burnt out.
Well, and they take the fun out of it. Once you take, with music, like, you know, music has to be fun. It's just like a sport. Like, if you don't enjoy doing it, then you can't do it. And it has to be one of those things where it has to be fun. It has to be organic.
Yep.
You have to put yourself in it. It has to sound like, you know, if I don't, you know, not everybody likes, you know, Bob Dylan. But guess what? It doesn't matter, because someone else does. And just because you don't like it doesn't mean that, you know, 10 other million people don't love Bob Dylan. Like, it's okay. You know.
It's okay to have the freedom in music to do things and try things, and because it's all opinion based. You like it, great. Yeah. You don't, great. You know, that's why there's so many bands.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, we're GFM, and we're gonna be playing the Cogs of War inaugural kickoff party
November 14th in Jonesboro, Georgia.
It'll be at Furnace 41. Make sure you get your pre-sale tickets from Jane's Lane, or you can get them at the door if it's not sold out by then. So make sure, November 14th, you are there in Jonesboro, Georgia, Furnace 41. We're gonna be playing there with a couple of our friends. So it's gonna be a good time. Bye.
We'll be right back.
have any advice for any bands that are trying to make a name for themselves, up and coming, really trying to break into the music industry?
Tour as much as you can.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard right now with COVID.
It is, yeah. But tour as much as you can. Get yourself out there as much as you can. You have to be relevant and consistent on your social media and your marketing. You have to do things smart too. You can't just post like, oh, this is my sandwich that I ate for lunch today. Like, you have to figure out what your audience is following you for. Are they following you for your sandwich? No. They're following you for your music, for stage info, for, you know, gear. Like, figure out what it is that your audience wants and stick to it. That's a huge key.
The biggest thing for me is being genuine. Mm-hmm. I feel like when we first started, like, for us, it wasn't us. Like, we were trying to put on this persona. Like, you know,
what is it? What did they say? Fake it till you make it or something?
Fake it till you make it. Like, the label told me I looked like a WWE wrestler. I needed to look like I was doing heroin.
So he had to lose all kinds of weight and be super skinny.
I couldn't work out anymore. I had to just run. And I lost 40 pounds and all my muscle. And I looked like, you know, a heroin addict. And it is what it is. But it's one of those things where, like, that's not us. Like, that's someone telling me what to be. But when you are just you, whatever that is, like, it doesn't matter who you are, just be you. Don't let somebody dictate who you are. You be you. That's one of the things I think we really learned early on, that we were trying to be something we weren't, because everybody was telling us what to do. Management, label, booking,
And a big valuable thing is that we see a lot of bands that kind of fall into is, like, don't be cocky, don't be arrogant, don't be a know-it-all. Be humble, be a sponge, be helpful, you know, offer to help carry gear, you know, like, be kind and courteous to people, like, you know, good old-fashioned manners go a long way. We see so many young bands who are like, they think that they're rock stars and they've made it and they act cool and they don't do the work and they, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a turnoff. Nobody wants to work with those types of bands. That no one wants to have them on the show. No one wants to have them at the venue. Like, if you're kind and humble, you don't trash the green room. You clean up after yourself. Like, just common courtesy. Just, you know,
I'll say this.
That goes a long way.
That's perfect. This is really the truth. The coolest bands we ever toured with are the biggest bands, like Korn, Five Finger Death Punch, even older bands like Tesla, Cinderella, Vince Neil, all these huge, gigantic bands. Godsmack's another great one.
Oh, yeah, so kind.
You think they'd have the biggest egos, and they are the sweetest, nicest people in the world.
But you know what happens when you're a sweet, nice person? People like you. Yeah. And that goes a long way. That
those are the nicest people to tour with. Are usually the ones that are already at that huge level, because I don't know what it is, but they're just really grateful and they're just great people. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the up and coming bands, they're the biggest jerks.
Yeah. Like, and it might be feel like they have to prove something. I don't know. Yeah. But if you're looking for advice, that's advice. Be kind, be humble.
Yeah.
Listen to, you know, if you want to be a sponge, try and take it all in and be genuine and just be persistent in putting yourself out there. And it takes time. You can't expect it to happen overnight. It's not reality. So give it time.
That's a good answer. And I've worked with all of those bands that you mentioned. Yeah. The jerks, the ones who know everything and know more than you do. And they've been in the business for about a month.
Exactly. Those are the best.
Yeah. Those are the ones you just go, okay, well, you go do it.
Exactly. Well, and that's just made my point. No one wants to work with people like that. And you won't, you know, you won't hear about it. You won't be told about it. You just won't hear back from anybody. So. Yeah.
Don't wanna let you make it. So you're not in the cold.
Well, guys, I appreciate y'all sitting in on this. This was absolutely fun. Had such a blast talking to y'all.
Oh, we had fun too. You guys are fantastic to talk to. It was an honor to be on here.
That means a lot. That really does. Before I let y'all run away, can we get a, this is the letter black and you're listening to the Mosh Pit?
Yes. Ready, Marcantha? Yep. We haven't done this in a while.
Go ahead.
That's awesome.
Look at us like professionals. What?
I know it's been a while, but we did a couple thousand of those.
Yeah, before. Right. Oh my goodness.
That's awesome. Dude, again, thank y'all so much. And if you ever want to come back on, share some tour stories with us. We could turn that into a segment.
You know what? After the record comes out and y'all listen to it, why don't you hit us up again and we can do a post-record release talk about the songs thing.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
We can do kind of like a behind the look of each song or something. Whatever you want to do.
Behind the look.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
That's awesome. So,
all right, cool. Well, hit us up then.
And we definitely will.
We'll make it happen.
So when y'all come through Atlanta, you're going to come by the studio. We're going to get an acoustic show from you guys, right?
Totally.
Good. This is going in the episode so that everybody knows.
Everybody knows it is on record. We are doing it. Acoustic song. We'd be honored. Honestly, we would.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all so much. And I hope you guys have a great night.
All right, Wes. Bye, Haley.
Bye. Bye.